Okay.
I can be bisexual as far as, you know... Episode 4 of Lug Radio, Season 2. We are here, back, talking to you.
Back and front.
This has gone really well, hasn't it?
On the MP3, coming at you. It's real, I'm feeling it, man.
Bowl. Safe.
Yeah. So here we are, talking to you again. It's me, Matthew Ravel, Jono Bacon.
Jono.
And new boy, Aid Bradshaw.
New boy, yeah.
Aid Bradshaw.
Hey, new boy, Bradshaw.
New boy.
You can see him in his cap on the forum photo. We'll get you updated on the website.
I did. I changed that now.
Right.
It was actually a red hat.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which I was going to wear tonight, just to annoy the fuck out of Ack.
Have you got a piece of fucking clothing tacked from every large open source company there is?
Not yet. I'm working on
it. Are you working on it?
Yes.
Clothing tacked.
Your red hat, you've got a Mozilla t-shirt.
I've got several Mozilla t-shirts.
Bet you're proud.
I
Did
am.
You pay the Mozilla Foundation for them?
Too fucking right. I bought it right from the site.
Oh, well, it's your money they're wasting on a fucking New York Times effort.
Well, I don't think it's a waste, personally. I don't mind putting my money where my mouth is.
So what we...
Yeah. I'm going to put donuts where my mouth is and keep my money in my wallet.
What are we talking about this this week, guys?
Sorry, we're looking at the donuts.
I've got to remember, bring the list.
Bit of 3G?
What do you mean I can't remember?
I can't remember what we're going to talk about. Because we planned it beforehand, don't we?
We'll talk a bit about 3G and Linux and kind of the interface between the two things.
What else
did I tell you I've got a new job?
Oh,
we can talk about that as well if you want.
Jono's new job with...
I tell you what I'd really like to talk about. Marketing.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to get onto that.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think we're going to... We need to take the marketing bait for later.
Yes.
In our lives.
Basically, it's probably a few things that we're going to talk about that are going to be quite nice, and you can listen to them, and that'll be great for you.
Jono's got his organ out.
It'll be great.
I've got my organ out. Hang on a second. Yeah.
You've got your beard Lovely. Trapped in your organ.
My beard, you're trapped in my organ.
Cool, so let's get on with it, guys.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, no, different track. Oh, right.
So, as Linux users, we don't have to worry about viruses, right?
Yep.
No, see, that's just so wrong.
Discussion, thank
that's
you very
wrong.
Much.
That's
not
my
entirely,
whole point.
Generally.
My whole point of this is... We are being enormously complacent. Well, I am being enormously complacent about viruses.
I'm just being enormous, to be honest.
Because, okay, fair enough, it's not particularly a threat at the minute. But we had an outbreak at work.
Cox?
Did Dustin Hoffman turn up in a helicopter with a monkey?
Dustin Hoffman. I wish I knew what we speak like, so I could do an impression, but... Carry on!
So at work earlier in the year, we had, like, I think it was Sasser outbreak, and all the Unix developers were, like, really smug. Now, in the Windows world, we're pretty used to patching, getting our virus updates, and all the rest of it. The Unix guys, well, they're on AIX 4, they run Red Hat 7.0 and never update it. If I wanted a router box on the network, I'd go for the Linux boxes, to be honest.
Right.
There's no antivirus, that they never patch it because there's perceived as no threat. So what I'm saying is the very, very first, not the first Linux virus, but the first serious Linux virus is just going to take everyone down.
First point. All right, straw poll from all of you. In your entire experience of using Linux, how many viruses have you had?
None that I know of.
None. Right, I mean...
Okay, another straw poll. How many of us run Linux antivirus?
None.
Exactly my point.
Yes.
So when the first one comes out, you're all going to get it.
I mean, how many of us ran antivirus on Windows 3.1 when we were probably running it, or us too? None of us. But the viruses eventually came, didn't they, is what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, though, is that...
Hang on, just a distinction here, just before you get into your point.
Are you
actually talking about viruses, or are you talking about network worms?
Viruses, worms, anything
because,
that's going
to... Because the two things are almost entirely different from this kind of perspective. Yes,
I agree.
Patch to stay ahead of both of them.
Exactly.
But patching against network worms is an operating system thing. Patching against viruses isn't.
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah. I'm actually talking more general than that, so I'm talking about both, yeah.
So you're basically talking about security measures to prevent a potential security threat in the future.
Yeah.
But that's... I think the thing is, though, is that
there are Linux viruses,
like,
aren't there?
Yeah, but that's like saying we might get hit by an asteroid, so we might as well build a massive dome over the world. The thing is that if you get the impression that an asteroid dome is... leave your dome over there.
Well, I've never had a car crash, right? But I still wear my seatbelt.
Yeah.
I've had loads of car crashes, bloody hell. But the thing is, right...
Sounds like you enjoy
it. How many seatbelts do you wear?
Just the one.
Because, like, some people, they wear one seatbelt and they die anyway. So why do you wear two?
Yeah. Here's a question.
I mean, that seems like a more appropriate analogy to me. Not wearing a seatbelt is like running Windows.
So, I know that...
Wearing a seatbelt is like running Linux. Wearing two seatbelts...
Windows users have got into good habits now. By force, they've had to make sure they always get their virus updates done. They always apply the patches. They've got into good habits because it's such a shit system.
Do you not think, though, that the issue here is with making sure that Linux users just keep their systems upgraded, not necessarily have to run antivirus software? Because the patches come out so quickly that it fixes the issue.
Yeah, but do people upgrade their systems? Because as I say, at work, they're running 7.0.
It depends.
Red Hat 7.0.
Yeah, but if someone's running software that old, then they deserve everything they get.
I agree, but the second it happens, it's going to be another reason not to use Linux.
I think you are... vastly, vastly, vastly overestimating how many people
maybe at this point in time
keep Windows up to date. In corporate environments, possibly
not. Well,
that's
what I'm talking from, a corporate environment.
Right, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a question for the uneducated user like me. This might sound ridiculously stupid to you guys, but let me ask it anyway. I thought one of the reasons that Linux was good was that things couldn't just do stuff on your machine because it had to have root.
No.
It's true.
Remember that programs can run as you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can connect to the internet. So for instance...
We live in Baghdad here, don't we?
I mean, if you think about... remember the big kind of spray of Windows viruses? Not actual viruses, but things where you basically mailed a VB script to someone. They double-clicked it, it opened and ran.
Yeah.
And then did something. Now, you could do that quite happily on Linux as well, theoretically.
Plus, you'd have to SU or sudo, wouldn't you?
No, why? I mean,
if you look at some of the vulnerabilities that are out for either operating system, a lot of them categorised as privileged escalation. So the worm gets in via one exploit and can elevate its privileges to anything it wants to.
Oh, right.
And if you just want the worm to spread to other computers, it doesn't need to be root.
Not at
all.
So
you're
doing RM star. It's right in one way, in the sense that no software is ever secure because it's written by humans, and no software will ever be secure, right? But I think where AIDS may be a little over paranoid is the fact that usually before there's a massive outbreak of viruses, there's a build-up that there is going to be security issues. Admittedly, people like in the Windows world get massively hit by viruses.
One virus can be very nasty, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, what I'm saying is that the virus threat in the Windows world, it didn't just go from nothing to complete nutter outbreak where everyone got shafted. Mm. It took a little bit of time, and that'll happen with the Linux world. More and more viruses will come out, so it'll become more of an issue, and distributions and stuff.
How sure are you that the first one that comes out is not going to be very harmful?
Because I don't believe everybody is going to get affected in the same way. I think Linux is too disparate. Everybody who runs Windows basically runs a pretty stock, familiar system, whereas people run different kernels, different setups, people firewall. More technical people.
I mean,
have more technical solutions.
Somebody at the log the other week was saying that he never gets his updates, never bothers updating his system.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people.
Now, that is complacency. I mean, that is a problem. But,
yeah.
I mean, I think you're right, Aid. I mean, I think that it's like safe sex, you know. I mean, if you go to somewhere that has a low HIV rate, you should still practice safe sex. Just because it's got HIV rate, it doesn't mean that you might not. That you should be
using the metaphor.
Flagrant.
Though, Linux is the ugly little
using
hooker.
Using the metaphor.
Metaphor.
What's a metaphor?
Shut up. It's a special kind of foe that you add to your other foe. I don't know.
Shut up. It's a foe that describes foe. So anyway,
it's beyond foe.
Tell us about your...
Yeah, the metaphor, of course, if you think that, you know, HIV land, right?
Mm.
And let's assume they're all prostitutes.
Mm. Right? Prostitutes, yeah.
Prostitutes.
Mm.
That's disgusting. I've just thought about what you just said. Tots. Anyway, Linux would be the freakish little thing in the corner, wouldn't it, that no one's going to shag anyway? Because that's...
I thought that this whole...
That looks really cool and trendy.
Security by obscurity thing was just really uncool these days. You know, it's like...
The thing is, we're all trying to get Linux adopted now into the enterprises. That's what we really want, isn't it? And should it start to be taken up and then get hit by a virus and taken completely down, all the Windows users are going to say, that's a load of shit, let's get rid of it.
But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay, so let's think about this now, yeah? Sasa.
Yeah.
What sort of virus was it? What did it do?
It was a worm.
Yeah, what sort of machines did it infect?
It infected Windows machines.
Just any Windows machine at all?
Relatively
yeah?
up-to-date.
I mean, yeah, okay, and Slammer infected machines running SQL Server?
Mm-hmm.
Right, how many machines on the net are running Apache?
A lot.
Yep, and how many of those are running Linux?
Quite a lot.
30-40% of the machines on the net?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there isn't enough, the argument that there isn't enough out there for a virus writer to target is clearly bollocks, right? So if there was any kind of serious virus attack, someone would have done it already.
Maybe we need to look at why
so.
People write
no,
viruses.
No one has really taken down.
So because it hasn't happened yet, it won't happen ever.
I think, I can't believe that if it was that easy to do, if it's the worry that you're thinking about, right, as opposed to it's theoretically possible to take it down, if it's to the point where, you know, ordinary virus writers could sit down and do it, rather than getting Ted So to write the fucking virus, you know, some kind of, you know, hacker sitting at a PC in Croatia somewhere, wants to put together a virus to get a bit of fame and say, you know, I am leaked to all his mates.
Sure, yeah.
If you're talking about that kind of people, someone would have had a crack at taking down all those Linux boxes running web servers and nobody's done it.
Can I just say something? There's two things you've got to look at, or one thing that's multifarious, or whatever.
Faceted.
The thing is that you've got to look at why people write viruses or worms. Like you say, some of it's about being leaked, but you can be leaked in the Linux world in a different way by contributing to an open source project or by Microsoft bashing a lot on Slashdot. Also, the other reason is that the Russian mafia or whoever employ them to try and get desktop machine vulnerabilities.
People on Slashdot.
No, virus writers to try and do things like, you know, get credit card details and stuff like that off your machine and spread it around. And the other one is just because they're script kiddies. Now, okay, you can get rid of script kiddies because there aren't the scripts to, you know, faff about with. Yeah. and you can get rid of the Russian mafia doing the credit cards from desktop system because there aren't enough Linux desktops. But there's still the opportunity for crime to go in there. Say a major online bank ran a Linux-based system. If someone with a lot of knowledge and a good bit of money coming in from the criminal underworld were to write a virus that specifically targeted a Linux system so they could get a backdoor into the custom bank systems, then surely that could possibly happen. I've just said that in a very bad way. But
the
you
thing
know
is,
I mean?
Though, is what AIDS, if AIDS on about basically, I mean, if AIDS basically going on about ensuring that your software's up to date, then, I mean, I completely agree with you. But I don't necessarily believe that every Linux user should go out and install some kind of antivirus software, because it's just overkill at the moment. I mean, sure, there is the potential in the future that someone could write a virus that could take down some Linux software. And at some point in the future, it probably will happen. But the thing that keeps us secure is the fact that we've got such a hands-on upgrades policy in the Linux community.
There's a lot of complacency. I mean, I take your point about the viruses, and you're right, there's two parts to this. There's the virus part, and there's the keeping the system updated part.
Yeah.
But we're just massively complacent.
Yes.
It doesn't affect us.
I agree. I completely agree with you.
What I'm saying is that in the Windows world, take my network, for example, our network at work. It's automatically virus protected. It's automatically patch upgraded every Wednesday. So it's pretty, if I was to write an exploit, I probably now wouldn't bother aiming for a Windows system. What's that?
You automatically upgrade your machine?
Yeah.
What if the latest hotfix breaks one of your applications?
Well, obviously, we test it before Patch Wednesday.
Oh, right.
Can I ask you a question, Aid? Do you know of any free and open source software that acts as a virus scanner for Linux?
No, I don't.
Clamav.
Because BitTorrent you have to pay for. BitDefender you have to pay for, don't you?
Yeah, Clamav.
Yeah.
That's what Clamav is.
And is that a simple tool that you set up and it just runs?
You know as much about it as I do.
Right, because if there's something out there that is as simple to use as, let's say, Norton, which generally works pretty well, right, then I'd happily use it. I mean, I don't see the point in not using it just because there isn't a threat, but I think the fact that there isn't something out there that is publicly, the Linux using public that knowledgeable about. It's not like Firefox. Everyone knows about Firefox. Everyone goes out and uses it. If there was an open source virus checker, virus scanner that was really simple to use, that could be shipped and is included in Debian, I think a lot of people would use it if it doesn't hog their system down.
Couple of things. The first one is that being on the upgrade treadmill for Linux is to some extent a lot easier because you can only do it so much for Windows. You upgrade and you upgrade and you upgrade, and then they go, "No, you got to upgrade like by paying some money now."
Right.
You know, yes, you'll get security patches for 2000, but some stuff you'll want to upgrade and you can't because you say, "Oh, I want that," and they go, "No, that's only an XP." And right. Longhorn's going to make that worse. But the second thing, what's the infection vector for Linux machines with viruses? Not with network worms.
With viruses. Well, it's going to be email, isn't it?
But how are you going to get the email? Because if you double-click something in an Evolution window or whatever, it doesn't run it. Because they've been really, really careful to avoid all the problems they've had with Outlook. If we're thinking about Outlook as being the infection vector...
I mean, Outlook does that as well now, but...
Yes, it does, yeah.
But we still get viruses.
How do they get there, then?
I'm not saying we do, I'm saying in the world we do.
But I think that's because people are running old versions of Outlook or whatever.
I wouldn't know about that, and I think that's...
Well, often worms will come in and they've got different payloads, and the worm will come in and it'll have a viral payload, and it'll read your address book and send emails out and stuff like that.
I think this is a subject we could do with coming back to.
Okay,
I think.
Cool.
It's one more I know nothing about.
I just wanted to put that out there and say, you know, are we updating often enough?
That's a really good point. Let's talk about it on the forums, guys.
Yeah, let's talk about it on the forums. Aid, you should know better the next time. Don't have ideas. You're not welcome to have ideas.
All right, then.
We have the ideas.
Stay in your box.
You just sit there with your golf ball through you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to...
Can I have some poise?
I don't want to disappoint you, but we had an agreement. We do the thinking. You
don't. Ah. Okay. Let's not pick on you, boy.
Why?
He's
my skin's thick enough, thank you very much.
He's a full member.
Looks quite thin for me.
He's got a full member.
Half a member.
I want to make my skin on my head.
Hey, he might take the piss out of you, but at least you've got eyebrows.
Look, check it out.
Now that's a string pulling you. All right, let's carry on.
Jono's got a job, idle bastard.
I think it's really sweet.
What, he's finally decided to join the rat race with the rest of us?
I had a job.
No, you didn't have a job.
Yes, I did.
I'm
sure that Susan must have, like, made your sandwiches and ironed your shirt and packed you off to work in the morning.
Did your mum take a photograph on the first day?
Shut your face.
Did you cry all day the first day?
Shut up.
Have you got a peg with your name on it?
Is your name in your underpants?
Have you quite finished?
There's quite something else.
As soon as you have to sew some names in your PE kit.
Or is it CNA?
So tell us about...
I had a job. I contest the fact that I didn't have a job. I was a journalist. I worked as a journalist full time for a year.
Yeah, it seemed pretty fucking full time.
In your underpants.
I never went short every month. I worked hard. And I still worked hard.
I think you went short every month, to be honest with you.
So, Jono... Yes. What's this new job you've got, and who's it with? What are you
advertising in a sweet shop?
Okay, I'm working at a place called Open Advantage. OpenAdvantage.org. And they're based in Birmingham. They've got offices on Broad Street in the middle of Birmingham. And basically, it's preaching the good word of open source to the masses. We speak to businesses. We're entirely non-profit. And they basically came to me and said, "Would you like to work with us?" I'd done some work with them briefly before. That's basically it. I suppose I'm an open source evangelist, or my official title is Application Development Specialist.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's basically what we do, and it's they're a good bunch, and everyone's really psyched on sort of pushing open source in the Midlands.
I mean, it's the perfect job for you, because you've always been into the advocacy theme.
I have that.
Who pays for Open Advantage?
Is it government funds?
Open Advantage is funded by Advantage West Midlands.
Right, so who are the regional development corporation?
Yeah, and they fund a few other projects.
Where do they get their money from?
I don't know.
Taxpayers.
Yeah, it's his government. Right. Obviously, EU money, stuff like
but
that.
But pay his wages.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not bad enough.
Again, because we bought the magazines before. And,
Who bought the magazines before?
Well, not you.
That's right.
Shame. Quality magazines.
So that's interesting. So
yeah. So I mean, it's really interesting work, you know. And
so is it quite varied, or is like?
Yeah, I mean, it's
how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it a week and a day.
How varied can it be in 8 days?
The thing about it is that I mean, I've always been interested in advocacy and pushing open source. I mean, I like using open source, but in many ways I like talking about it more. Which is the reason why we're doing Log Radio as well. But the thing about it is that they give me
clip round the ear.
A clip round the ear. And they give me a... Oh, Jesus, my seat's blowing. Okay, my seat's just fallen down. They give me a platform in which I've got money and resources to actually sort of do open source advocacy.
So, here's the thing. Speaking for maybe a small minority within our...
You are a small minority.
within our listenership.
You look really French. I've just noticed. With your glasses on. And your little beard and the thing and the headphones on. You look
really
French.
Would you like to come over here and give me some head?
Right. sorry, mate. You had a question.
Visual joke for a radio program. Some people within
I'm in trouble. Oh, now.
Some people in our listenership, and maybe I might be misjudging.
Is that like a special boat where all our listeners?
The listenership for the Log Radio cruise. Can we use it to get to the Isle of Man?
Get lost. The thing is, it's bigger than the Isle of Man.
Even with all our mighty 200 listeners on it.
Okay, come on.
This is something that Sparks might ask, or in
if he was here. Sorry.
Wouldn't that money be better spent on
anything else?
On a hacker to sit there and develop something?
No.
I mean, I don't believe it would
basically,
be.
Basically, the reason why Open Advantage... I mean, I was really critical of when they first came on the scene. I mean, I wrote an article about them for Linux User, and I sent Paul...
Are they aware of it?
Eh? Oh, yeah. Oh,
right.
I did an interview with them, and I was kind of going through my Jeremy Paxman phase, and I sent this list of horrific questions to them. And he sort of said, you know, they were a bit harsh, you know. And I was... Because my view was, well, nice idea, you'd be gone within a year, you won't have done anything, blah, blah, blah. And... since I've got to know them, they're actually doing a good job, because what they're doing is, instead of advocating the use of software through people such as the Free Software Foundation...
Splitters.
Or the AFF.
Or the AFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF a professional platform in which they can do it. They've got like proper offices, they've got a big lab full of machines, you know, they've got proper booklets that they print out. It's all enterprisey, corporate-y kind of stuff.
How long have they been running?
Do they need a copywriter?
I don't know, to be honest. They've been running not long, I mean about 8-9 months.
Have they had any notable successes so far?
Yeah, they've had quite a few successes.
Cool. I mean, what sort of thing? I don't know if you can talk about it in detail.
I don't know specific. I can't. Well,
they blew out 900,000 desktops for the NHS, for example. Yeah. Where were they?
I mean, what they've naturally got their targets. You know, they've got their own targets they've got to meet. But the thing about it is that they do seem to. They have made a number of successes. I mean, since I've been there, I've spoken to people who have worked with them, and you know, they've had successful migrations to Linux and to open source
in Australia.
And
yeah, I talked to some buds who had a successful migration to Iceland.
So, Ak and I were riffing earlier about corporate involvement in Linux on episode 3, I think it was. And we're having a bit of friendly banter about that, and. Maybe Open Advantage then could be not necessarily an alternative, but a sizable portion of the alternative to Microsoft.
The thing is, the thing I found in my first week at Open Advantage, I've learned a different type of advocacy. I've learned a different way of doing things. And I've always tried to you know, when I first got into Linux, I did the whole, you know, sort of walking around with leaflets and giving them to people and kind of homebrew advocacy.
Yeah.
And I tried to move it onto a different level when I started writing. So make it more formal and make it more kind of professional. And Open Advantage is just a different kind of, it's another kind of level. Because they're doing it in a kind of, it's odd because people don't think they're offering a free service. People keep thinking that they're going to charge because it's very professional. It's, you know, they've got proper letterheaded paper and business cards.
Are they ever going to charge, by the way? I mean,
They've got their targets to meet. And as far as, like any organisation, they only get funding for so long. But how that exit strategy is, I don't know.
They might be able to get kickback, well, not kickbacks, but they might be able to get commission from different vendors and stuff like that.
I'm supposed to use words like kickback in these kind of environments.
Sorry, we're not in Africa now.
I've no idea. I mean, at some point, like any organisation, you know, the funding runs out at some point. And they might pursue other funding, or they might charge. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
So, okay, that's really...
They're basically a consultancy.
Essentially, yeah. It's free consultancy. Yeah. And they do things like seminars. And, I mean, we're doing a seminar tomorrow on, called about Mono and .NET. Mm. And helping people, like, talk about migrating from .NET to Mono. And things such as that. And they're doing, like, full-long, like, week-long training courses that are entirely free. Because they've got, like, to educate a certain amount of people. But it's interesting because, you know, there's so much potential out there. But some businesses are just so unrelentingly ridiculous when it comes to...
Well, they've had years of brainwashing, haven't they?
Well, that's it. So, but I think, like you were saying, Matt, it brings up the important point of open source marketing.
Well, before we get fully onto that, I'm interested to know what ACK thinks of Open Advantage. I mean, because to me, this seems like the ideal solution for your point of view.
Yes.
Because what they are, well, you talk about it. Go on.
I think they're great. I think the concept is great. You know, this is exactly what I want to see. I mean, when I've talked before about my being worried about corporate companies taking over Linux, what I'm really worried about, I think, is us signing away our sovereignty. Our ownership of the thing, the community's ownership of the thing,
right.
In favour of a large company, but someone at Open Advantage can't do that because they're government funded, and that's what government funding's all about. I think it'd be a real tragedy if the government funding runs out, and then they have to start selling themselves in order to stay afloat, because they'll either start compromising for money or they'll end up partnering with someone like Novell.
I can imagine there are people listening to this show. And I don't side with them, but I can imagine that there are people sitting there thinking, particularly perhaps in America, where things are done slightly differently, they'll be thinking, what the hell involvement should government have in trying to tell people about software that they should use in business, particularly one that goes along with a certain philosophy?
But the thing is, though...
No, hang on. Sorry to cut you off. But so my question is... This is brilliant for the West Midlands.
Yeah.
This is fantastic because someone in Advantage West Midlands had the guts to actually get this thing going, yeah? Brilliant, fantastic.
Well, not exactly. Someone had the guts to go to Advantage West Midlands and ask for funding.
All right, well, someone in Advantage West Midlands had the guts to give them the funding, though.
Yeah.
And the government funding has trickled down through the different agencies to get to Open Advantage. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's great for our region.
Yeah.
But will this happen, can this happen in France?
That's part of the reason why in many ways this is why it's such an interesting place to work, because it's kind of a first of a kind thing.
It's pretty much unique
because it's a regional thing, and in many ways that's partly the reason why the team at Open Advantage is so. I mean, they're a pretty dedicated bunch, to say the least. I was really skeptical when I started work there. I was expecting them to be a bunch of losers, because I didn't know half of them. I knew some of them. They seemed like nice people, but I didn't know.
You'll be playing in this show, won't you?
Now only perhaps some of them are losers. Do you want to give us some names?
No, I mean, they're all absolutely fantastic.
And can I just ask ACK a question about the consultancy? Because you were saying once government funding runs out and they start charging for consultancy, is paying for consultancy a bad thing then? Because isn't that what the GPL will say? Well, if you're going to make money out of this, then...
It depends on your point of view. If they are... just taking money in exchange for their expertise, then great. But money has...
I
agree with you. But dealing with money in all these things, it's got this kind of... I'm going to sound like some kind of lunatic bloody hippie here.
But it's got a kind of
horrible power to corrupt things. I think, because it's too easy then to start, you know, getting in bed with other interests and stuff like that. Whereas if they can essentially operate in a free and easy way.
Right.
Open Advantage. They're not beholden to anybody's interest other than the government. And all the government want them to do is be a regional organisation.
That's so they wouldn't lucky be as independent.
We are bloody lucky to
Is that what
it.
You're saying?
Independent is a good word. They're not beholden to interests.
The point is, though, is that If Open Advantage works and Open Advantage hit the targets, then it demonstrates that this can work on a local level, and then that will hopefully encourage other local schemes in other parts of the country.
Hopefully.
That's part of the thing. I mean, apart from actually, obviously, Advantage West Midlands, their interest is in rejuvenating the West Midlands. And they're doing some great work in lots of different areas, you know. Yeah. But with Open Advantage, it's interesting because, like you say, they've had the balls to go along with it. And so long as we work hard and we hit our targets, which I think we're going to do, you know, it's got great potential to inspire other schemes. Whether that'll actually get funded or not, we don't know.
Now,
to enlarge on my point from earlier, because of something you've just said there, Open Advantage have really got kind of two goals. If I walk in as a company and say, I'm interested in getting some free consultancy off you, basically, they've got two goals. Their goal number one is to help me as my company, but they've also got the overriding goal of increasing the use of open source in the West Midlands in general. If they were just a consultancy who took money, then they wouldn't have that general goal at all. And no one would fund them to have that general goal. You know, because they'd be being funded by the people who want the help, the individual companies, and therefore they should be dedicating all their time to those individual companies. There'd be no wider social responsibility. And wider social responsibility is what government is.
But that's part of it.
They collect taxes, and they deal with wider social responsibility.
With Open Advantage, that naturally with any targets, there's particular types of targets you've got to hit, right? But the thing about it is that they're all targets that are in the right direction. They're all spreading open source. You know, it's like educating a certain amount of people in open source, helping a certain amount of businesses in open source.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. So it's, although you might think, well, it's limited in some ways, like every target is limited in some ways, you know, you've got to hit them in particular ways, you know, particular methods, and they work in specific processes. But they're all pushing open source in the Midlands. And they're minimum targets. If we can help more people, then that's great.
I think Ack's point is that if they lose the funding and they start charging, then some of those targets might slip because they basically need the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... And
so you've got to come up with a way where they're still going to have those ideals and those goals. But... Yeah.
But don't get funded by the government. I mean, it would be cool
it's
if
like
you
the
do
difference
that.
Between financial advice but, and independent financial advice.
But which is where kickbacks come in.
As far as I can tell, I mean, taking a step back from the open source arena, if you want someone to take general responsibility for making the world a better place, you've either got to pay them to do it, which or they've got to be independently wealthy and kind to boot. And in order to pay them to do it, because you're not going to derive any benefit from it, then you've got to be a philanthropist or the government.
Mark Shuttleworth.
Yeah.
Or the government.
Yeah, basically. You know, I mean, if someone's going to do something to help the wider community, you've got to pay them. Whoever pays them has to be either the government or they have to be Mark Shuttleworth, as far as I can tell.
Or independent financial advisor. You have to pay him. So it's the same kind of thing.
The thing is...
You don't pay an IFA at all. IFAs exist entirely on kickbacks. Except the word is commission.
They're not independent then, are they?
No, they're not I. I mean, they are I, but what? they're not independent, really, are they?
Because they're... What's they're independent?
Well, they're independent of any one organisation, but their judgement is naturally swayed by the kickbacks.
Exactly, yeah.
No.
Well, they are.
No. Because so if one...
Anyway, that's off the top.
If one organisation offers a larger kickback than another one, then it would unduly influence them, yes, which is why they're not allowed to do that. Financial Services Authority stop you doing that kind of thing for precisely that reason.
But we don't have the Open Source Consultancy Authority to...
This is, however, not FUG Radio.
It's going to be really interesting seeing how everything works out because
so if your prediction of 12 months I mean that's what 4 months away is it
prediction of what
the fact that they'd be gone in 12 months
I predicted what
you said when they first come onto the scene you say they'll last a year and then they'll be gone so you've got to work for 4 months and then your kids go hungry in March
and you know that new house you're just buying
I did predict that they'd be gone pretty soon because I'm just a cynic basically
but you're happy to admit you're wrong.
Oh, completely. I mean,
or you're praying Jesus that you're wrong, at least. Please don't shut down a man out of money.
No, I mean, it sounds like a fantastic project, and I think we're all agreed that we, you know, we need more stuff like this, and we're not just ass-kissing because they're listening. You know, it does seriously...
Are they listening?
Let's hope not.
It does seriously... got the glasses against the wall.
So that's your neighbours, is it? So...
It does sound like a perfect job.
It's good fun. There's a lot of pressure, but it's good fun.
Yeah.
You know, and... The main thing, I mean, I spoke to Paul today, and like he's the assistant director, and he just said to me, he said, you know, I just want to help spread open source in the Midlands, and that's it. You know, it's not like this evil kind of, you know, we want to do this so then we can charge for it and then we can make a shitload of money.
And they're not, not freaky zealots either.
There's really genuine interests there. And I wouldn't have joined them if there wasn't.
No, sure.
Something which I think is interesting about them, it's a symptom rather than a thing. If you look at the government's attitudes towards open source in general, if we, for instance, put to one side the fact the NHS have just bought 900,000 Microsoft licenses, right, so when push comes to shove, they don't actually believe all the crap they preach.
Enormous thing to put
NHS is kind of pseudo-independent.
Ignoring that for the moment, yeah. The government put out the government report on open source 2004, which said that it should be considered a lot more in government. And they're funding things like Advantage West Midlands, which are then funding things like Open Advantage, which is great. I can't imagine someone going to Advantage West Midlands with a proposal for closed Advantage and getting money.
Yeah.
Right? So, this is, you know, conceivably a good thing.
I hate to sound like a cheesy social kind of guy, but I think it's about creating an ecosystem sort of thing. Like in the Midlands, if we can create an ecosystem of businesses who support... I knew you were going to take them.
Good shit, man.
If we were to create an ecosystem of businesses who can support open source, it's going to help businesses who want to move over to it. And essentially, Open Advantage acts as the middleman. Basically, help put people in touch with other people.
Essentially, what Open Advantage do is say, "What do I buy? Joseph Linux."
Hang on, is that what they say, or do they wait for people to walk in the door and say, "I want some Linux," then they go, "This is how to go about it"?
People usually ring up and say, "I've heard about this open source lot. Could you explain to me what it's all about?"
That's what I thought. So, are they planning on? Are you planning on? Attempting to get the word of open source out to more people, or do you intend to wait till they hear about open source for themselves and then tell them about it?
It's kind of a combination. I mean, part of it is going out
doing marketing and sales.
Like for example,
Matt alluded to on the forum.
Like for example, I'm going to an event on Friday.
Someone did, wasn't it?
I did.
Oh, don't do that. I thought it was you.
I'm going to an event on Friday that's basically aimed to get all local government people together, and none of them will have paid any attention towards open source. But we're going there to tell them about it. Went to a charities thing the other day, and it was absolutely brilliant. And it was like, it wasn't like an open source charities thing, it was just a general charities thing, ICT and charities, so people talking about webcams for older people and things like that.
What?
I know, don't ask.
Well, so you just like, watch them over
here. Some really
like Leslie
Grunton. In my mind now.
Oldcamgirls.com.
flick the ancient bee. So anyway, we went along, and Paul gave a talk towards the end of the day, and it went down like a... It really did go down really well. And loads of people were just like, really? You can use an office suite that doesn't cost anything? And people are absolutely astounded about it, and it caused a lot of interest, and that's going to, no doubt, sort of throw back to the assists that we can
get. Let's get one of these guys on.
What?
Well, you don't count, because you're already here.
Yeah. Well, I'll have a word of them. They all think you're a bunch of tossers anyway, so...
Well, they're right. This kind of segues quite nicely into Digito's... question
Digito,
on the forum.
Do you want to bring up Digito's question on the forums?
Slash up the forums on the screen.
Slash up the forums?
Yeah.
Slash all over the forums.
Right, just keep chatting while I slash up the forums.
Yeah, so if you have a look at what Digito's brought up.
Forums.lugradio.
You got carrots in it.
Did it bounce?
it's a while since we've seen Digito, isn't it? Let's go. Okay, so he says that he's currently working at a data mining company, so the thing at the school he was working at didn't work out then.
Yep.
Do you think we should expand on what exactly a data mining company is?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
Okay, data mining.
I can
mining,
picture like a little mine
do
with a trough.
Statistical analysis and...
On data.
Yeah.
Basically,
they wear hard hats.
And if they're talking about marketing and the sort of thing...
They wear hard hats.
Everyone in the mine wears hard hats.
They're not the doozers out of the Fraggles, all right?
The Fraggles. I used to love the Fraggles.
So
Fraggle Rock.
Basically, what you've got...
Grab a Fraggle, but...
Sorry, Gary. Put them in the air. So, yeah, data mining, as Zach says, is statistical research on data, and in this case, if it's probably to marketing, it's probably things like identifying that there is a bald 38-year-old type of man who will buy open-source products, who drives a certain type of car and has certain type of income.
And doesn't have a brush.
There's another type of bloke who has
one
child...
Mud
child.
Two incomes.
A dust.
and it drives the yellow banana, that sort of thing. So basically, it's that sort of thing of profiling.
He sounds like a pretty handsome chap.
Yeah, he sounds like
banana
a guy. Banana guy. Blue banana.
Anyone who drives a yellow car.
Okay, so what we're talking
rocks the world.
So what we're talking about with the Gito is I can't read it.
You've
from here.
You've forgotten as well.
I haven't got my glasses on. Read it out, Jono. Something interesting.
Linux and open source software in general, acknowledgement and acceptance are steadily climbing, and in Linux's case, almost matching that of Microsoft, which is something of an unsupported and indeed bollocks assertion, to Gito. But he says here, at least among corporate and technical circles. And he'll release official figures once he gets hold of them. Though companies such as IBM or Novell have a predetermined budget set for marketing, open source projects such as Mozilla have decided to also spend part of their budget on advertising using traditional marketing channels. So, my question, his question, is the following. Understanding that marketing does undoubtedly help the adoption of open source software, okay, we'll take that as a stipulated. Should there be a centralized open source marketing foundation, or should we leave it in the hands of the corporations and larger OSS projects like Mozilla? Does the cost in value, which, you know, the value plus the time, justify the investment required?
Okay, so let's, the first thing to do.
I really don't think I can add anything to this because I hate advertising.
Yes, but, okay, the first thing to do is to look at actually what marketing is.
Oh yeah, because marketing is different to advertising, which is what you were talking about earlier.
It is really. Yeah. I mean, advertising is just one area of marketing communications. Basically, marketing is all about looking at people's needs, looking at what needs to be done, and then finding ways of satisfying that. So
for profit.
For a profit, yeah, but that profit could be the enrichment of the user base or something like that. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a financial profit. So in this case, I think that, basically, I think the idea of having a centralised open source organisation that does marketing for open source and tries to promote open source is wrong. The idea of Open Advantage is right, because it can be very targeted very well to a local area and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think that unless open source projects, the big ones at least, like OpenOffice and Firefox, start doing some proper marketing, proper user research and functionality research, and then looking at the best ways of promoting it and packaging it up as something nice that people can use and understand, then we are just going to remain niche, as we were saying in the last program.
Yeah.
Just to go on with that, if you're going to broaden marketing to the extent that it includes things like usability, then the term essentially becomes meaningless, I think.
No, it doesn't, because that is the definition of marketing. I'm not talking about usability, I'm talking about making it something that is... Well, yeah, okay, something that's usable, but not down to the level of individual Steve Krug techniques. I'm talking about, you know, just making it something that does the job well.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you talk about it in a really, really, really broad sense.
But that is what marketing is. I mean,
well, yeah, but then you say, yeah, okay, they need to do some marketing, but they're already doing some marketing. By that definition, DeGito there is saying, should we be doing some marketing? And the answer is, yeah, and we are. So we don't need to do anything else.
Well, I don't know. I'm too tired for this.
No fucking accordion. Fuck off.
More accordion.
Okay. Matt's just given up, hasn't he?
I am. I'm too tired. I can't be arsed.
Okay.
In the UK, we're about to see, two of the major networks, mobile phone networks, launched their third generation services. That's Vodafone and Orange. Hutchinson, who are a major Hong Kong conglomerate, have had their free service running in the UK for a while. It
sucks. Hutchinson. People own Orange.
Three really services.
They don't own them anymore.
France Telecom own Orange, yeah. So, three are running their service, and it is the biggest joke on earth.
This is the video phone bollocks thing that no one cares
basically
about.
They don't offer...
No accordion!
They don't offer...
How's it going to do anything?
They don't offer any data access. They just let you do watch music videos on your handset. Why the hell would you want to do that?
What they also do is let you watch replays of goals...
Yeah,
and that's
really
important to me.
Yeah, that's really useful. Thank
Whereas
you.
Whereas I would actually spend a substantial amount of money on data transfer if
exactly,
I can do it. But never mind. That's stupid. We acknowledge that. So we've got some proper serious companies about to launch 3G services in the UK. Trouble is, though, the devices that you can get for them at first will basically be mobile phones with browsers bolted on.
You've also got those PCMCIA cards, haven't you,
that
you can
swipe? Yeah, that'll be very good. That'll be very good. But
we like this.
My question is...
There'll be no drivers, of course.
Yeah. Well, what role will 3G have in changing Linux and open source, do we think? And are we ever going to see a decent open source or Linux-based mobile device? You know, like a mobile phone or the Zaris that what's-his-face is getting out of his pocket, but one that you can actually buy in Dixon's or something.
Put that back in your pocket, young man.
I think 3G is very important because we all need to get on the internet when we're on the train or whatever.
Yeah.
And for me, it's I'd like it on my phone to a point because I was looking recently for a PDA that's got a phone built into it because I've got a PDA now, but it's not got a phone built into it. So now in my pocket, I carry around an iRiver, I carry around my T3, and I carry around my phone, my wallet, my keys. You know, it's just too much. I haven't got pockets that big, so I wanted everything in one. I wanted an MP3 player,
heavy metal trousers.
I want my, you know, I want phone, PDA, MP3 player,
keys.
You've got the Trio. Is it the Trio thing?
Trio 600. That's the one I was looking at until Orange stopped doing it.
Pretty dreadful.
Quite good.
I've got the Palm P900. Not the Palm P900. Sony Ericsson P900.
Now, right. What's that like?
Quite nice. It runs the Symbian.
So to me, the options that you've got are basically Symbian, which is, I think it's losing ground because it's too. This is a phone, and it's got some other stuff bolted onto it.
I don't know. It is a PDA, to be honest.
I think you're looking at an old kind of vibe of Symbian there.
Yes.
My
7600. Bloody hell, that's a brick.
Okay. So you've got Symbian, and basically you've got Pocket PC Windows thingy. Now, Orange offer some own branded Windows based products. O2 do as well, the XDAs.
Doesn't the Trio thing, doesn't that run Palmos?
Yeah, then you've got Palmos.
But are we talking about mobile phones or smartphones here?
Either, I don't care, because 3G phones will basically be smartphones.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
What I'm interested in just getting your ideas on are is there any way that Linux can get in there into basically what is a network led, because they subsidise handsets, market?
Linux on the actual phones?
On the actual phones or on some kind of device that uses 3G.
Linux is massive in the embedded space.
If it hasn't done it already, though, it's leaving it bloody late.
I mean, Motorola keeps fluffing around saying, oh, we're going to do some Linux stuff. But
The Microsoft people.
Linux runs on.
The Microsoft mobile phone shit is still not really taken off. But you don't see MS giving up, and it's gradually gaining ground.
They are gaining quite a lot of ground, particularly with things like the XDA2 and stuff like that, which are good devices, actually, for what they do.
The thing about the XDAs is that they're not a mobile phone which has grown up and got PDA functionality. They're a PDA which they've chucked a phone into.
It's basically, you know, so they
were already a pocket PC, which they then decided to make phoneable, so they wouldn't go, okay, let's take the operating system off it and put a phone operating system on
it. Yeah, it's weird. You walk around holding a PDA against the side of your head.
Can you look a prick?
Or you use Bluetooth and have it in your pocket.
That's one of the things where I don't necessarily think you do need to roll everything into one device, because you just keep the phone in your pocket and use Bluetooth from your PDA to your phone, and then GPRS, 3G, from your phone to
the world. I only
want to
carry one thing around, to be honest.
But if you need a PDA,
and
you need a phone, and you want an MP3 player, it's better to have one device. Yeah, sure, it's a bigger device that you can speak on.
But there's only one of it.
There's only one thing.
I can't think of a reason why there's any problem with having a phone and a PDA.
Because you look like Robocop.
Well, yeah, because you've got too many things hanging around in your pockets.
It's one more thing to lose, apart from anything.
And one more thing to buy, let's face it.
One more thing that needs charging.
Yep.
Mm. And one more thing you get charged for. So,
That was rather a neat little synchronous thing there.
My God, I think we've actually beaten him on something. But then again, I can sympathise you within the area of, I mean, particularly if you want to get on the internet on, let's say, 3G, then and you're going to be using it for...
You'd Bluetooth your laptop, it up to a laptop, though, wouldn't you?
Then you'd Bluetooth it with a laptop.
It's 384 kilobits per second.
Then you'll carry
a
laptop around.
Yeah, but some of
what's the fucking point of having PDA functionality? If every time you want to do anything proper, you're going to go and use a laptop. Why not
on
just
the train
have a
home from the expo?
Like you can do anything proper on a PDA anyway.
On the train home from the expo back in April or whenever it was, we were able to look on the BlackBerry that your work had lent you at the photos that Digito or Schwark or someone had posted to their website.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Yeah,
imagine if that came down at 384 kilobits.
It's really useful, but I have no. Don't get me wrong, I think it's a brilliant idea. Oh. I think 3G to mobile devices, fantastic plan. What I don't want is to use it as a phone, because you look a prick walking around the street carrying a BlackBerry and talking
That's
on it.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Bluetooth headset.
You look more of a prick.
Question is, you look even more of a prick. But yeah.
Oh yeah, they should ban those. But incidentally, people who probably want...
They should ban Bluetooth headsets.
Yeah, completely.
Really?
Yeah, because... People look like completely
only because you look a penis, though. Not for, they're really useful and clever and cool. You can use your phone while you're driving and stuff. You just look a penis.
When you're driving, no problem. But if you're walking around Asda with it on, and you're not on the phone,
I don't agree.
Shot if you do
no,
that.
I don't agree.
It's just like people who wear mobile phones around their neck on the
What about the wired hands-free kits?
And people hold
the
wire so that it doesn't work.
I'm going against hands-free.
So you can walk around with a wire.
No. You can't walk around with a wire in your ear.
Why not?
You're not on the phone. Because you look as stupid.
Because you look like Agent Smith.
What if you're on the phone and you're just walking around?
If you're on the phone, no problem, because that's been used. But if you're walking around with a Bluetooth thing and you think you look like someone from bloody Battleship Galactica, Battlestar Galactica,
or 24. Battleship Galactica.
E4. Battlestar Potemkin.
Right, so guys. Guys, we've had a chat about that. Great.
That means Matt doesn't want to talk about it.
I really would like to see the PCMCIA devices actually having some Linux drivers there.
Completely.
I think you have to just rely on people backporting.
But I don't think the devices will be very difficult because they're basically a network card.
So is a wireless card, but there's problems with those.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. There are. But
the best thing is just... The Bluetooth with a mobile phone in it, really.
Another good reason to have a separate mobile phone and use Bluetooth.
You are listening to the radio.
What was it?
It's final thought. Is that what this is going to be? Yeah. Well, I really have taken on Sparks' position, haven't I? I'm doing the outros.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
That's all we have to say about that.
Thank you. Yeah, already it seems to be the end of the show yet again.
It is.
John Edward, a bit of accompaniment there.
Yeah, it is.
See, I've had a chat about 3G. But a spectacularly fascinating talk about marketing.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, thanks.
Interesting to the point where I'm really glad that we don't have time to record something else.
I think you're all very mean.
What else did we talk
poor
about?
Short angry man.
Poor little angry man.
Just looking tired, bless him.
I'm knackered.
Yes. One of the things I wanted to bring up was...
And one of the things I wanted
my
to
dinner. Ah, oh, I don't know. Podcasting.
Yeah.
Because a few people have mentioned it. A few other people have gone, well,
really, so
what,
really,
what is it?
The reason we're not doing it is...
Because it is you, basically. It depends on your point of view.
Yeah, what is it?
There are two schools of thought on whether it's my fault. Everyone else says it is. I say it isn't.
Surprise.
So fancy that.
What is it?
Right. The idea behind podcasting is it's a thing built on top of RSS for audio, weblogs, and so on. So
it's kind of audio RSS.
If you've got
shock horror, another fashionable RSS related technology.
It's a really good idea, to be honest.
What you mean, as opposed to another fashionable open source related technology
or wiki related technology?
Wiki, yeah,
yeah, fucking wiki.
I tell you what, I've got a great idea.
Let's set up a wiki.
I'm
thinking of getting rid of the forums and indeed getting rid of recording this show and just putting up a wiki and letting people write it themselves.
Susan, would you like to have sex tonight? I'll set up a wiki.
Fuck off, wiki. Right. Anyway, the idea behind podcasting is that if you
do... It's a stupid term, isn't it?
It is a stupid term, right? But it's just there because Apple have got loads of fucking mindshare. Because they need good marketing. So everyone has to have something... Has to have the word pod in it, or has to be with I, or
every
something.
Every time
so
I hear the word pod,
music.
I think of nodules for some reason.
Correct me if I'm wrong, John, I believe that you have an iPod.
I do have an iPod.
And an iRiver.
And an iRiver.
Which incidentally is called an iRiver Y... Capitalise on the fucking iPod. Fuck off.
Well, we don't have any river casting, do we?
You have river dancing.
You have river casting all the time. In any river, at any given time, there will be a bloke casting into it, right? No one ever casts a pod.
Make some real sad
programs. I've casted a few pods all the time.
No.
You've casted a few pods. There you have. I've eyed a few pods.
You're all disgusting. Anyway.
So basically, we don't do it because you can't put two tags what in the RSS feed.
Oh, yeah, told us what it is.
It's just not really. The idea is that if you do a regular audio show, you essentially put together an RSS feed.
A regular audio show?
Like us, for example.
Do we have an RSS feed?
And in the RSS feed, you put links to the show. And then people, the idea behind it is you have a podcasting program on your machine which trawls the RSS feed you're subscribed to, automatically downloads the MP3s or whatever, and then uploads them to your iPod or your iRiver or whatever.
Ready for you to so take
you, out. You just leave it plugged in overnight and then you come out the next morning and you've got the latest stuff on there already. It's like a newspaper delivery.
So,
it's a brilliant
idea, isn't it? I think the problem is that there's so many tags you have to put in that.
Shut the fuck up!
How many are there? How many tags do you...
One.
Right, okay. That's clearly why you haven't done it then.
So perhaps you'd explain, of the four different formats for each show we offer, which one should I put in the feed?
MP3.
Which MP3? High or low?
High.
Why?
Because they're going to be listening to it on iPods and stuff.
I tell you what, some of our listeners are not going to be happy that you chose MP3.
Really?
And a lot of our listeners are not going to be happy that on their 40 meg pocket MP3 player, as opposed to their iPod, you're going to fill up 23 megabytes with a high quality.
40 gig.
40 meg. Okay. Not people with iPods. People who've got like a little solid state MP3 player that they you know listen to work and back.
And they're going to hook that into podcasting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that
the reason I chose MP3 is because I've got an Archos, so this is before like iRiver, and that only plays MP3, doesn't play OGG.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. But the reason, you know, the fact that there's this discussion at all is one of the reasons why I haven't done it.
I don't think there is a discussion.
Well, four separate RSS feeds would be one way to go. But I mean, it sounds like an interesting thing, and if people want us to do it, we'll do it eventually.
If you're interested in it, though, you're going to have a high capacity device, but you're going to have like an iPod. You know, podcasting, iPod.
Right. No, I don't agree with it. But anyway, yes, people have requested it. Yes, we think it's a good idea. Yes,
no, we're not going to do it.
Yes, our RSS feed used to do it a long time ago when we built the RSS feed by hand every week. But fuck that
Which
shit.
Only happened one week, I think.
Yeah, so now it happens with a script. Because I built the script, it's my fault it doesn't have the enclosure tags in it.
Does it actually work?
The RSS feed works, yeah. But it doesn't have the enclosure tags
fixed
in
it. Oh, right, cool. Yeah. Have you done the rest of the site?
No.
Have you done the venerable mirror rotation script?
Not quite. I've done about three quarters of it.
When's the next lug meeting? Have you updated the site?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
When did you update it?
Bring it up.
Let's talk to this. All right, no. I haven't updated it.
Yeah. But, yeah, so...
Shut your face.
Yeah, so, yes, podcasting's a good idea. Yes, we're going to do it at some point. At some point. Thank
cool.
you very much.
Well,
I tell you,
great.
I just want to say one more thing that we all seem to have forgotten about. Lug paintball.
People are
interested in it. Manchester Lug are getting teams together.
Okay, well,
Southwest Lug.
I'm happy to start looking into
Isle of Wight Lug.
I wanted to settle in for a week first, and then, but this week I'll start looking into it.
We'll put it together in price. It's likely
I'll
to set be
up a
sort
wiki.
Of
some of the people on the forums have said, look, it's going to be really difficult to organise. Why don't we do an online?
Fuck off!
That's
what
more
was
difficult.
That?
That's more difficult to organise, if you ask
more
me.
More to the point, you go, yeah, we could go out and we could have a really good laugh. You know, go and do some paintball. We'll all meet up. Or alternatively, we could all sit in our fucking computer rooms on our own with the lights down, with just pants on, and play fucking Unreal Tournament 2004. Right? I'm sorry, people, but fuck off.
It doesn't compare.
Get out in the sunlight and have a laugh.
If I get shot online, maybe the joystick vibrates a little bit. If I get shot in paintball, considerably more vibrates.
PJ, me eyes.
As much as I'm well up for having a bit of a deathmatch online, it's nothing compared to paintball.
Do you remember that time we tried BZ Flag?
Oh, that was the biggest pile of arse in the world.
You know, it's nearly as shit as NetHack. It really is. I can imagine NetHack running on a Mac.
Don't provoke me. Listen, you've got a G5 down there. And
on a Mac without any virus protection. God, I'd hate that.
You start complaining because we're going to do Lug Radio. Start recording Lug Radio on a G5.
Yeah?
Yes.
You count me out.
Let's become Mug Radio.
Mug Radio?
Yeah, I'm saving up for a Mac.
Really? What kind of Mac?
Are you seriously saving up for a Mac?
Yeah, seriously.
A Mac top.
What the fuck is it about Macs?
They're fantastic.
Hardware's quite nice.
They're proprietary.
And the operating system's
they're
quite
closed source. Why don't you just get Microsoft?
You want Mac OS X? I want to pay for Mac OS.
What? No, come on. While we're on the subject, if you're going to run Mac OS, it's proprietary, it's closed source.
I think
why not just go whole hog, get XP?
Because it's a lot more expensive and a lot more crap.
Is it more crap?
More expensive.
Out of curiosity, I assume you stopped using Skype.
Skype?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I assume you stopped using it because it's proprietary.
Well, basically, you guys never actually sign on, so I don't use Skype anymore.
I'm asking, much like I've stopped using it as well, although not, you know, because it's closed source, but just because I never get around to it. Yeah. I don't know whether that counts. This is not quite the RMS objection.
A's got a valid point. You shouldn't be using Windows or Mac.
No, but I mean, if you're into this open source thing...
No,
I really don't get it.
It's not a bloody religion. I can chop and change if I want to, man.
Okay.
I can be bisexual as far as, you know...
I'm sure your wife wouldn't be too pleased about that.
No, but you know what I mean.
Well, maybe she would.
She might be enormously pleased, you know.
Yeah.
But the point is that there's a conviction thing there. You know, I mean, you think, for instance, that marketing's really important, but do you only think that sometimes and other times?
Yeah, it's important some of the time.
You know, I mean, it's just the nature of convictions.
I'm a pragmatist. I want to use good software, and sometimes it's open source, sometimes it's not.
I can see where Matt's coming from, but I mean, I'm a pragmatist.
I'm all for being a pragmatist.
You have got at some point set a standard.
Yes.
Yeah, mine's different to yours, perhaps.
But I wouldn't, I'm not one of these people that would say, you know, I won't use this software because it's not for Linux, or it's, well, because it's closed source. I use the software that works for me. That's part of the reason why.
But everyone beats up on Microsoft saying, oh, I'm not using that, it's proprietary, and then they go and get
Linux. I don't want to use it because
they're
a horrible company.
I don't get it.
And they've got far too much power, and they've got far too much sway over, you know, without actually using all that money.
And of course, if Apple got that successful, they wouldn't be anything like that.
Well, yeah, but that's if, isn't it? And they're not at
the
moment.
That's like saying if the Liberal Democrats are going to get that successful, really, isn't it?
Why did you like Amigas back in the day? Because they were good machines at the time, and Apple
Linux was
still
about
good machines now.
As far as Apple
was
concerned,
it wasn't
18 years ago when he bought his first computer. Yeah.
So let's wrap it up because we're knackered. Sat here for about 2.5 hours recording Lug Radio. Yes, we'll admit it. We've recorded 2 episodes. Send your complaints on a postcard to...
Lugradio.org.
To Lugradio, fuck off street, fuck off town. We don't care.
This show might fucking contain swearing. Oh, by the way, who put... Lugradio is not a flying toy on the website, by the way.
That was the Ackmeister.
Oh, that's superb. I pissed myself when I saw that.
The fact it's not a flying toy.
It's in really, really, really small print.
You people make me update the website and I was really, really bored.
Well, I used to update
it. It was hilarious.
How
small was that font, man? I had to zoom it like...
It's about 2 pixels or something.
Sound, well...
What's the font? Was it Arial? Is that open source license? Are we allowed to look at that?
No, it's Bitstream Sans, which is open license, and yes, we're allowed to look at it, but you're not, you're a Macintosh user. Fuck off, use Helvetica.
I'm the only person in this room who isn't a Macintosh user.
Apart from all of us, apart from John.
Matt, when you get your Mac, are you going to run Linux on that?
I wouldn't want to...
Linux.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to sully such a beautiful machine.
Hang on a second. Let me just get this right. Okay, you're on Lugradio. Just remember that. You're buying a Mac because you want to use Mac OS X.
I want to have a play.
I find that amazing. Mac
no,
OS X
I want to have a play with
you
it.
You want to have a play with it? Go to Selfridges. That's what I did.
I'd like to have a play with it, and then if it's no good, I'll stick Ubuntu on it or something.
Right.
But I'll still have my PC with Linux on. Don't worry, I'm not going, you know, onto the evil side or anything like that. I'm not playing Darth Vader.
It's one step.
Chinny, chin, chin.
I'm not going to the evil side. Don't worry about it. I mean, I could have killed a person this morning and this afternoon, but I only did it this morning, so that's okay.
Yeah. You're you are ridiculous bearded twats.
Hey, it hasn't got a beard.
I have a micro beard.
Oh, is that a beard?
Yeah, that's a beard.
It's like Hitler's toothbrush moustache, except it's below your mouth.
Anyway,
okay.
It's been fun. show@lugradio.org. Send your emails in.
Forums.
Forums.lugradio.org. Go and talk on there with all the other strange people that go on there.
And the ISO.
Like Deathmatch.
#lugradio.
Send your hash to
lugradio.
Send your hash to lugradio.
Paintball, get involved.
Paintball. And send us your comments. We enjoy them. And
naked pictures if you're a girl. Send those in.
And, bye.
Ta-ra a bit.